सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Please repeat after me. Vasudevendra yogindram natva jnana pradam gurum mumukshunam hitarthaya tattva bodho bhidhiyate tattva vivekaha kaha tattva vivekaha kaha atma sat Satyam, Atma Satyam, Tadanyat Sarvam, Tadanyat Sarvam, Mithyeti, Mithyeti, Atma Kaha, Atma Kaha, Stula Sukshma Karna Sharirat, Stula Sukshma Karna Sharirat, Vyatiriktaha, व्यतिरिक्तः पञ्चकोशातीतः सन् पञ्चकोशातीतः सन् अवस्थात्रयसाक्षी सच्चिदानन्दस्वरूपः सन् सच्चिदानन्दस्वरूपः सन् यत्तिष्ठति यत् तिष्ठति स आत्मा स्थूलशरीरं किं पञ्चीकृता पञ्चमहाभूतैः कृतं सत् कर्मजन्यं सुखदुःखादि भोगायतनं शरीरं अस्ति जायते वर्धते विपरिणमते अपक्षीयते विनश्यति विनश्यति षट्विकारवत् एतत् स्थूलशरीरम् So we started off looking at the question, tattva vivekaha, what is this tattva vivekaha? Why is that important? Because we want tattva bodha. Why do we want tattva bodha? Because we've realized through purushartha nishchaya, through the very clear determination regarding what it is we seek in life, that if we don't address the fundamental universal human problem of taking myself to be a wanting, limited being, then I'm never going to be able to solve the problem through any of these peripheral means, through the pursuit of artha, dharma, or kama. They don't hit the mark because they don't solve the problem. So, pariksha lokan karmachitam brahmano nirvedamayat nastikrita kritena tadvijnanartham sagurum eva bikachet Samitpanihi Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. Looking at our experiences, we realize that we need to get serious about this pursuit in life. What are we spending our time on, and why are we spinning our wheels? Why is it never enough? Because we're not focused on the right thing. We don't really see that the fundamental problem is that I mistake myself to be something that I'm not. So for the sake of that knowledge, tat vijnanartham saha brahmanaha gurum eva abhigacchet, may a wise person, an intelligent person who has some viveka, some vairagya, right? The shatka sampattihi and mumukshutvam, these fundamental qualities, adhikaratvam, to some measure, to some degree, may he approach a teacher in a traditional way, and a teacher who is a shrotriyam and brahmanishtam, who knows what he's talking about, is able to communicate it, and sees very clearly the truth of himself, who has the capacity to make the student see very clearly what he sees, what he knows about the truth of the student. That in truth, the student doesn't have the problem that the student thinks he has. The tenth man does not have the problem of the missing tenth man. So for the sake of that, he approaches a teacher. And the teacher does what? The teacher teaches tattvabodha, the knowledge of the truth. How do you gain the knowledge of the truth? Through tattvavivekaha. Well, what is tattva vivekaha? What is the discriminative discernment of the nature of truth? Atma satyam tadanyat sarvam mithya iti. This is his opening gambit, his opening volley, if you will. And it's a mind blower. It is not a trivial thing. He says, you, my good man, are the truth that you're seeking. And everything else is mithya. In fact, everything else is dependent on you because mithya is by definition dependent on satyam. Tadanyat sarvam, everything other than you is dependent upon you. And it only has an apparent, a dependent reality. Adhishtana ananyat, it is not different than its very basis. So that's quite a thing to say, because how can I be the truth? I am this alpagnyaha. I am this alpashaktiman. I have very little capacity. I have very little knowledge. And I can't really see how I can be the truth of everything. And everything else other than me is mithya, is dependent upon me. When I look up at the stars, how can that be dependent on me? And the teacher says, well, listen, take a look. Take a look at what you mean when you say I. Where does the first person singular personal pronoun, aham, where does that land? Oh, okay, well, it's just me. And that's the rub. Because we don't take a clear look. We've never taken a clear look as to really what we mean by me. The Shruti, Mother Shruti, the Vedas, very compassionately present ways through which we can start the vichara, start the analysis, start the inquiry into where this aham pratyaya vishaya starts and this idam pratyaya vishaya ends. Where is that line between the objects that we call that, idam, this thought, idam pratyaya, this thought, vishaya, idam pratyaya vishaya, the object of this thought, the thought this, this table, this chair, this computer, versus aham, I, the I thought. Where do I start? Where does the I thought land? What is the aham pratyaya vishaya? And what is the idam pratyaya vishaya? What is the object of the I thought? And what is the object of the this thought? And Mother Shruti takes us and says, stula sukshma karana sharirat vyatiriktaha. Because we say, Atma kaha, what is this Atma you're talking about? It's not the Atma I know. He says, wait, it is the Atma you know, but it is not the Atma that you know. It is known and unknown. And that's the blessing. Because if the Atma were somehow transcendental and away from me, how would I know it? It would be paroksha. It would be different than me. And so my salvation, to use a loaded word, my moksha, my freedom, my soteriological search would be dependent on gaining something which is apraptaha. It would be apraptasya praptihi. It would be the acquisition of something which is not attained, is not present. But because I am here to make a mistake about, because I am known and yet not known. I'm always present. I'm always here. And therefore, I'm always available for trouble. I am locked and loaded, and I'm ready for trouble because I'm always here. And I'm always available for misunderstanding and superimposition, adhyasa, because of avidya. Right? Avidya, ignorance, has the avarana shakti and vikshepa shakti, the capacity to conceal the truth of who I am, and then to project utter nonsense. It's like when we don't know the truth of the rope, because of the veiling power of the ignorance of that rope, I can project a snake. So we have all this superimposition of who we take ourselves to be. And when we say, how can I be the truth, satyam, which atma are you talking about? So this jignasu, this person who wants to know, this person who has these some of these qualities in some measure, and is sharp enough to ask the question, well, atma kaha, what is this atma? And the teacher says, based on the Shruti, this is all based in the Upanishads, stula sukshma karana shariraat vyatiriktaha pancha koshatitaha san avastatraya sakshi satchidananda swarupaha san yas tishtati saha atma. Yaha tishtati, that which stands, that which remains, as vyatiriktaha, separate, distinct from the sukshma, stula, and karana shariras, from the gross physical tangible body, from the subtle mental emotional body, and from the karana sharira, the causal body, that which remains separate from that, saha atma, that is the self. Not only that, it is pancha kosha atitaha, it is beyond the five koshas, the five levels of personality which we all mistake ourselves to be. And we saw that this sharira trayam, this threefold body model, maps very well to the panchakosha model, because there are two different ways of looking at the same phenomenon. Phenomenon of myself that I take myself to be. These are two different ways to look at the same phenomenon. And this triad of bodies which is presented, and this fivefold koshas model which is presented. The tatparya is not to fully describe the physical body or the emotional landscape, intellectual, emotional, subtle landscape we have, or the vital forces in the body. It's meant as a tool by which to pry our self-identity away from the anatma. Because if aham satyam, if atma satyam, I need to have a very clear understanding of what that aham is, what that I is. And to be able to do that, we first have to point out what it's not. I don't have to point out that I am not an elephant, because I have no history of making a mistake that I am an elephant. I do have a bit of history mistaking myself to be my thoughts, my emotions, my body, and the characteristics, the attributes, the fatness or the thinness or the tallness or the brownness or the whiteness or the stupidity or the genius or the emotional calm or the emotional agitation or the happiness or the sadness or my desires or my desirelessness even. I mistake myself to be all that. And so, bit by bit by bit, Shastra is just going to take this sharp chisel of viveka and just chisel away this, neti, 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 neti. I am not this. I am the avastatraya sakshi. I am not any of the three states of experience. I am the truth of all of them, of the waking state, of the dream state, and of the sleeping state. What does that leave us with? It leaves us with the fourth phrase, satchidananda swarupaha san, being the very nature of existence, consciousness, and completeness. That is who you are. That which remains as satchidananda swarupaha, that is the atma. Okay, well, there's a lot there to unpack. And so this intelligent student who's approached this guru says, okay, well, let's take this piece by piece. Help me understand, what is the stula shariram? Stula shariram kim? What is this physical gross body? And the teacher says, panchamahabhutahi kritam sat karma janyam Sukadukadi bhoga ayatanam shariram asti jayate vardate viparinamate apakshiyate vinashati shatvikaravat etat stula shariram. This is the physical body, the tangible, gross physical body. Etat, this, stula shariram. This is the physical body. Stula here does not mean fat. Could be fat, could be skinny, but what it means is tangible to the five senses. Like in meditation today, the way we know this body is through the physical senses. We have a unique relationship with this body because the sense of touch pervades this body, and it so strongly helps create an identity with this body based on the ignorance of who I really am. If I don't know myself as I am, then the pervasiveness of the sense of touch gives us immediate input saying, well, this must be me because I feel it, and I feel it all throughout this body. And I have the special relationship with this body because I can lift my hand without lifting my hand with my other hand. That's because of the karmendriyani, and we'll see that in just a couple of minutes. So this body, this stula sharira, which is available for the five senses, as an object of the five senses, as any other object in this entire world is available for the five senses. Any other object, every other object in this world that is within eyeshot, right? Anything I can see, anything that's within the purview of my senses is an object of those senses. Even when there's fire on the hill and I don't see the fire, I just see the smoke. I know that there's fire through anumana, through inference, because I see the smoke. These five senses are just so fundamental to how we know the world around us, including this body. I don't need to infer that this body exists. I see it directly through pratyaksha, through the senses. This body has four different attributes that he talks about. The first is panchi kripta pancha mahabhutahi kriptam sat. The sat we mentioned can be taken with the first phrase or the second phrase, and we'll do it sort of both ways. But it's created by the building materials for this physical body, five mahabhutas, the five subtle elements, akasha, vayu, agni, apaha, prithvi, which is space and air and fire and water and earth, which have undergone a process called panchikaranam, quintuplication or grossification, if you will. And really, it's a model which you'll unpack more later. It's this beautiful model to help us understand how do we account for the subtle and physical world. So the idea is that these subtle elements combine in a certain way to create these physical tangible elements. And these physical tangible elements are, if you look at it, it's a very comprehensive, beautiful model. It's space. This body is three-dimensional. Space. There's oxygen, nitrogen, and other gases in the body. Vayuhu. There's agni. We all have a temperature. If we didn't have a temperature, the sukshma sharira would be gone. This wouldn't be my body. It would just be a slab of meat, right? That's agni, temperature. Apaha. The body is what, 80, 70% water, something like that? And prithvi, earth. It's born of food, which is created from the earth. And there's carbon, and there's minerals. And in the end, it just dissolves back into these five elements. When the sukshma sharira goes, this physical body, just all of its constituent parts just dissolve back into the rest of the creation. The vyashti resolves into the samashti in a certain way. It's a little different way of thinking about vyashti resolving into samashti, the microcosm resolving into the macrocosm. But all these elements return back to their source. So that implies that this body is inert. It's jada. This body is jada. It is not conscious. It is not conscious, first of all, because I am the sakshi to this. This is an object of my knowledge, and I am not what it is I perceive, first of all. But also just from its constituent parts, it's made up of inert stuff of these five elements, which have undergone this panchikaranam. And it itself is not conscious. There are certain aspects of this creation in the subtle body which have the capacity to reflect consciousness, and we'll talk about that. But this physical body itself is not conscious. Any consciousness that this physical body seems to enjoy is just borrowed. So this panchi krita panchamahabhutahi kritam, it is kritam, created by the panchamahabhutas, by the five elements, the five fundamental elements, which are panchi krita, which have undergone the process of panchakaranam. Details pending. Sat. Karmajanyam. While the building materials for all of these bodies are the same, but some show up as dogs, and some show up as people, and some show up as lizards, they're all made of these five elements. What's the difference? Well, those Mahabhutas, which have undergone the Panchakaranam, that is just the Samanya Karanam. That is just the general cause. It's the building materials. What accounts for the particularities of this incarnation, of this physical body, its health, its weight, its size, its complexion, its capacities, that is Karmajanyam, which means Karmapalajanyam. And we talked about this last week, so I won't go too much into it, but it is the result of previous punya and papam. It is the result of previous actions which are attuned to dharma, and those actions that are not attuned to dharma, which create punya and papam respectively, which are the adrishtapalam, the unseen results which accrue to the individual and which account for the variety of our experiences here, pleasant or unpleasant or everything in between. And I also mentioned that this sat, some people take this as sat karma janyam, that this body is made of sat karma, of good karmas. And there's a problem some people point out with that, because this body is actually mishra. It is sat and asat karma pala janyam. Because we have problems. People are born with all sorts of physical problems. Limited sight, deaf, can't walk. It is not all sat karma janyam. So some people take sat as the present active participle neuter of us dhatu and put it with kritam. Taking up the new topic, sukha dukha adi bhoga ayatanam shariram. Ayatanam means abode. Etat shariram. This abode, this body is the abode. We've talked about the samanya karanam and the vishesha karanam, the general cause and the particular cause for this physical body. Now we're looking at the purpose, its function. Ayatanam, it's an abode, it's a residence for the bhoga, for the experience of sukha and dukkha, etc. Sukha dukkha adi comes to mean sukha and dukkha, etc., which is everything in between, all experiences, neuter, along the whole spectrum of ecstatic to horrible experiences. And this body gives us a vehicle to experience all of our punya and papam, all of our sukha and dukkha. And it really is a rental. We just rent this body for a short while and then move on. And there is this beautiful verse. I actually don't remember where it comes from. But it talks about mahata punya panyena krita iam kaya nauhu tvaya. It says that at great price have we bought this boat of a body. And before it breaks, as long as it's not broken, may you cross this ocean of samsara with this boat, with this vehicle, with this body. It's a temporary housing. You're here as a guest. And you better make the best of it. Life is very precious. Time is very short. Even though this body is meant to be a vehicle for the experience of sukha and dukkha, how we choose to spend our time and the emotional growth that can happen if we pay attention to how we respond to sukha and dukkha, to this punya and papam. Because sukha and dukkha, pleasurable experiences and unpleasurable experiences, are presented to us and are caused by punya and papam, respectively. Karmapalam, the result of action. Who is the karmapala data? Who is the one who gives karmapala? It's Ishvara. What do we receive from Ishvara? What do we receive from Bhagavan? prasadam. When you go and offer something to Bhagavan, what you get back is prasadam. It's grace. And a graceful way to reference karmapalam is to see it as prasadam, as a gift. All of our experiences are gifts, whether we like it or not. And are, in one very real sense, inevitable, because it's part of the package of our life as it unfolds. And we can choose to act dharmically or adharmically within the context of our unfolding punya and papam. But if I can receive all of my experiences as prasadam, that makes me a karma yogi. And that creates an emotional maturity which generates the adhikaritvam, the qualification for clearly seeing this knowledge. So this body is not just, it's not just a sensory input mechanism, an abode like that. It is an opportunity for karma yoga to appreciate that everything that comes to me is a lesson, whether it be favorable or unfavorable circumstances, whether it be pleasurable or unpleasurable. And everything is Ishvara. Everything is Bhagavan. What did Bhagavan make this world out of? He didn't have anything other than himself to make it out of. So everything that comes to me is literally Bhagavan. Dakshinamurti, in fact. We'll talk about him sometime. The Lord as teacher, and the teacher as Lord. Bhagavan is a karmapaladatta. Dakshinamurti is a karmapaladatta. Every opportunity is an opportunity to learn, to create more emotional growth, and to gain more vairagya, more objectivity, thereby gaining the adhikaratvam for this knowledge. So we should use this rental house wisely. Shariram asti jayate vartate viparinamate apakshiyate vinashati shatvakaravat. So now this is the very nature of the stula sharira. We have the function, we have the general cause, we have the specific cause. And now these are the qualities of the body. It's a very beautiful vision. There's two ways that these are presented. He presents this as asti jayate vartate. In the Niruktam, which is a text of etymology, the first two are actually reversed. Jayate asti, which some people think makes more sense. I'll take it that way. Jayate, this body is born. Asti, it exists. Vardhate, it grows. Viparinamate, it changes. Apakshiyate, it declines. Vinashyati, it's destroyed. Shat vikaravat. Vikara means modification. Vikaravat is neuter nominative singular, which matches shariram, which is neuter nominative singular. Vikaravat is that which has modifications. How many modifications does it have? It has shat vikara. It has six vikaras. It has six modifications. Shat vikaravat shariram. And those are, it's born, it exists, it grows, it changes, it declines, and it dies. This is true of anything, really, in the world. This is true of all physical objects. Am I born? Do I grow? Do I change? Do I go from a thin 20-year-old man to a not-so-thin 50-year-old man? Do I decline? Do I become sick? Do I die? It's saying very clearly here, as Krishna said, na jayate mriyate va kadachate nayam putva bhavata va anubhuyaha. Na jayate mriyate. I am not born, I do not die. This is what this teacher is saying here. These are characteristics of the physical body. I do not come into existence when the physical body comes into existence. I am the one who sees the growth of the body. I'm the one who sees the changes in the body. I'm the one who sees the decline in the body. I'm the same person who looked at myself as a 9-year-old boy and says, hey, there I am. And I can look at myself as a 56-year-old man and say, there I am. And that's the same me. It's not the same body. The body has undergone all these changes. that's still me. That's still me. I'm the witness of all these changes, of all these vikaras. Everybody, a wise man, an unwise man, undergoes these changes. Therefore, I am not this body. This body is inert. I am the witness of the modifications of the body. And this is how one understands the sthula sharira, the physical body, with these characteristics. So when we look at these, when we take ourselves to be any attribute of the body, fat, thin, tall, short, brown, white, etc., American, Indian, that's an attribute of the body, where it was born, perhaps. We need to question that, because that's not what we're talking about. When he says, Atma Satyam, that is not the Atma that he's talking about here. That I that lands on this physical body needs to be questioned. So then, Sukshma Shariram Kim, let's repeat after me. Sukshma Shariram Kim, Sukshma Shariram Kim, Apanchikrita, Apanchikrita, Panchamahabhutaihi, Panchamahabhutaihi, Kritam Sat, Karma Janyam, Sukadukhadibhoga Sadhanam, Sukadukhadibhoga Sadhanam, Panchajnanendriyani, Panchajnanendriyani, Panchakarmendriyani, Panchakarmendriyani, Panchapranadayaha, Panchapranadayaha, Manaschaikam, Manaschaikam, Buddhihi, Buddhihi, Chaika, Chaika, Evam, Evam, Saptadasha, Saptadasha, Kalabihi, Kalabihi, Saha, Saha, Yattishthati, Yattishthati, Tatsukshma Shariram, Tatsukshma Shariram. Good. Progressing further, this intelligent student says, okay, understand what this physical body is. Now, what's the sukshma shariram? So sukshma shariram kim? What is this subtle body? We know what the gross physical body is. And the teacher says, apanchi krita panchamahabhutahi kritam sat. So previously, he said the sthula shariram, the physical body, is panchi krita. Here he says, apanchi krita. Again, this will be unpacked in more detail, but it's the exact same phrase, except here he negates the panchikaranam for the mahabhutas, for the subtle elements. For the physical body, the subtle elements have to undergo this process of becoming tangible and physical in order to become the physical body, to create the physical body as the building materials. Here, for the sukshma sharira, the subtle body, these panchamahabhutas, these five fundamental elements, do not undergo this panchakaranam, do not undergo this grossification. They remain subtle. They're not physical or gross. And what we mean by subtle here is these subtle elements are not available for sensual perception. They're not available for the five senses. They are available. Things that are that exist within this subtle realm that I take myself to be are available for pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means direct perception, but without the means of the senses. I don't need the senses to know what's in my mind. I see that directly. It's called sakshi pratyaksha. That's why they call the subtle, is because these phenomena, these things that we're going to enumerate here in the subtle body, are not available for the five senses. But I still mistake myself for them. So these are apanchikrita panchamahabhutahi kritam, sat being created, sat kritam, by these panchamahabhutas, which are subtle, remain subtle. Karma janyam. Again, this subtle body manifests through this physical body. And how it manifests is a function of the sthula sharira. Some people are born brilliant geniuses, Einsteins or Stephen Hawking. And some people are born a bit less blessed. Some people are born with very sharp senses, capacities. And some are born without such acute capacities, right? I have a very poor eyesight. I need glasses. Perhaps that's my problem. But the qualities of the sukshma sharira are karma janyam, just like the stula sharira, are born of the results of previous actions. And the sukshma sharira manifests in keeping with the physical gross body. The sukshma sharira is like the link between the atma and the gross and the physical body, if you will. It is that which accounts for sentiency in the body, because it's that which goes when the body dies. Death is a separation of the subtle and the gross body. And just like a lamp or a fan needs electricity to function, so too this physical body requires this subtle body to function. Without it, it's just a slab of meat. So some people liken it to, say, software. But it's important to note that this subtle body manifests according to the qualities of the stula sharira. If you have a monkey stula sharira, you're going to have monkey thoughts. And thoughts are part of the sukshma sharira. You're going to have monkey desires if you have a monkey body. The expression of the sukshma sharira, of the subtle body, is in keeping with the physical body. Electricity can power a small LED or a huge megawatt lamp. It can power a tiny little fan, or it can power a huge fan. The same electricity, it's the same subtle stuff, but how it manifests is in keeping with what is called the upadhi, what is called the expression, the limiting adjunct, if you will, is an upadhi. It's keeping with the upadhi of the body, with the characteristics of the body. I think, as I mentioned, that's why we love some cartoons, because cartoons, animated features, allows us to imagine the anthropomorphization of critters, of animals. And we tend to love that, because we often superimpose human qualities onto animals and human motivation. So if we give them a voice, you have Mickey Mouse, all the way to Mickey Mouse, to whatever the latest animated characters are, that is imposing a human sukshma sharira into an animal stula sharira. And we rarely find that in real life, and that's why it's fun in the movies. So this sukshma sharira is karma janyam. It is also sukha dukkhadi bhoga sadhanam. So we saw that the gross body is also karma janyam, but that it was the ayatana for sukha dukkhadi bhoga. It was the abode, the rental for the experiences of pleasure and unpleasurable experiences. Now this is the sadhana. This is the means of experiencing those experiences. Sadhyate anena iti sadhanam. That by which something is attained, something is accomplished, something is here experienced. An instrument is a sadhana, is a means for the bhoga. Now bhoga here doesn't mean indulgence. It means just an experience. And it is through the senses that we experience sukha and dukkha. And so he goes on to say here in the next phrase, pancha jnanendriyani, pancha karmendriyani, pancha pranadayaha, manascha ekam, buddhischa eka, evam saptatisha kalabhihi saha. So along with these parts, along with these 17 parts, dasha means 10, sapta means 7, along with these 17 parts, yat tishtati, that which abides, which remains, which exists, along with these 17 parts, tat sukshma shariram, that is the subtle body. And what are these 17 parts? Sometimes this is a 19-part model, and sometimes the 17-part model, and we'll talk about that. But there's 5, 5, 5 plus 2 makes 17. Pancha jnana indriyani. Pancha means 5, jnana means knowledge, indriya means a sense capacity. Now, it doesn't mean the physical sense, it doesn't actually mean the skin, for example. It doesn't actually mean the eyeballs. It means the capacity, the tactile capacity. It means the capacity for vision, for hearing, capacity for smelling and for tasting. The jnanendriyani, the 5 senses that we commonly call senses, pancha jnanendriyani are input methods, and the pancha karmendriyani are output. So there's 5 senses through which we accumulate input from the world, and there's 5 capacities by which we interact and express into the world. And these are the 5 karmendriyani. There are also 5 pranas. These 5 pranas are the enlivening forces, these autonomic systems in the body. And they're the energizers, the thing which energizes this body. And all of these go when one dies. These are the things that leave. It's in a sense closer to us because we take on various bodies, but it's the sukshma sharira which incarnates into each of these various bodies. And so those are the 15 parts, and the 16th part is the manas, and the 17th part is the buddhi. Manas, he will talk about this much farther down the road here, but we'll just give the definition here. Sankalpa vikalpa atmaka antakarana vritti, manaha. So the mind. Manas just means mind. So the inner organ, the antahkarana, literally the karana, which is antar, the instrument, which is internal, the antahkarana, here is divided twofold into the manas and the buddhi. And the manas is responsible for sankalpa vikalpa, atmaka antahkarana vritti. It's the state of mind, the vritti, the thought forms of the internal organ of the mind, which are vacillating. Did I lock the door? Oh, I locked the door. No, I don't think I locked the door. No, I think I locked the door. No, I didn't lock the door. Should I go back and check? No, I shouldn't go back and check. I should. Okay, I'll go back and check. I checked it. Okay, I locked the door. So the ascertainment that I locked the door is the buddhi, the second aspect. It is nishchayatmaka antakarana vritti, buddhihi. It is the portion of the mind, the function of the mind, which is responsible for the intellect, decision-making, determination, will, deliberate action, clear ascertainment. That is the buddhi. This is true. This is a rose. This is not a rose. If I hold up a plastic rose, you may say, is that a rose? I don't know. It doesn't quite look like a rose. I think that's a rose. No, that can't be a rose. That is sankalpa vikalpatmaka. That is of the nature of wishy-washy indecisiveness. You don't quite know. That's how they characterize the manas. And the buddhi is, yes, that's a plastic rose. That's not real. I see that very clearly. Manas is also seen to be the seat for emotions because they're very wavering and they take us away and they're like waves which come and go and they belong to the manas. So when we say the mind, oftentimes I think people misunderstand the mind for just being thoughts. Images or internal verbalization, those are thoughts. But really, it's the antakarana is our whole internal experience. And in fact, the manas is responsible for perceiving things through the senses. So it's the senses that create the ability for us to have that input into the manas, which then creates the thought form, which corresponds to the object that's seen through the senses. And then it's the buddhi that identifies what that object in the mind is. Sometimes the model is 19-fold instead of 17-fold. So it's the same pancha jnanendriyani, pancha karmendriyani, pancha pranadayaha, the five pranas, the five capacities for action and sensing. But they divide the antakarana into four sections instead of just two. So they also pull out chittam, which is the capacity for memory. Chintana kartra, the one that does the remembering. Recollection based on past experience. And that chittam includes unconscious and the subconscious, which makes a lot of sense. When it's a twofold model of the antakarana, the chittam is subsumed in the manas. So you could say that the manas includes the chittam. Sometimes they break it out. And then in the fourfold model, they include ahankara. They break out the ahankara, this I thought, this ego, quote unquote ego. But it's not an ego like we think about it. We think of ego as manatvam, right? We think of it as arrogance. Oh, this ego. And it's not even ego in a Freudian sense, in a psychological sense. But it is this notion that I am a doer. It is this I thought that owns up everything in the stula and sukshma sharira. It is the thought that says, I am the body, I am the senses, I am the mind, I am hungry, I am fat, I am intelligent, ityadi. That I am labeler is the ahankara. Aham karta aham kritihi. That's what he'll say later. Aham karta, I am the agent. I am the one who's responsible for doing. I am actually doing and experiencing everything. And I am the means by which everything is accomplished and experienced, which is this stula and sukshma sharira. So when there's a twofold model, the ahankara is subsumed into the buddhi. So you could say there's the antakarana is the manas and the buddhi. And in the manas is chittam, is memory, and in the buddhi, intellect, is the ahankara, the I thought. Any way you slice it, any way you dice it, that is what makes up the subtle body, the sukshma sharira. And again, this is not meant to be a Freudian, Jungian, Maslow investigation into the workings of the conscious and subconscious and collective unconscious and hierarchy of needs, etc. This is not meant to map out the entire internal landscape and all the dynamics there, but it's meant to create a model for us to understand, to wrap up what it is we take ourselves to be. So I take myself to be blind. That's a mistake. If my eyes don't function, am I blind? I see that inability to see. I know the inability to see. I know that if my vision is becoming poorer. I know if my hearing is becoming poorer. I know that those jnanendriyani, those sense capacities, are objects of my cognition. I am not what I am aware of. I know sometimes I can hear clearly, maybe sometimes I can't. Sometimes I can see clearly, maybe I can't. Those vicissitudes of the jnanendriyani are objects of my cognition. Atma is not that. Let's say I've lost the capacity to walk. We haven't gone into the karmendriyani, but the karmendriyani, one of them is the capacity to walk, the pada, the feet, the legs. Am I a paraplegic? I know my ability to walk. I know my inability to walk. So in truth, I am not the one who has the ability to walk, and I am not the one who has the inability to walk. Those capacities are a function of the sukshma sharira. I am aware of these capacities. I am not them. So repeat. Shrotram, shrotram, tvak, tvak, chakshu, chakshu, rasana, rasana, granam, granam, iti, iti, pancha, pancha, Jnanendriyani, Jnanendriyani. Here he just lists the five Jnanendriyani. Iti. Iti puts things before it in quotes. So when you say iti, pancha Jnanendriyani, he's saying, here are the five senses. He just names them. The shrotram, the tvak, the chakshu, rasana, and granam. The ears, the skin, the eye, the tongue, and the nose. Now, note that when he's talking about this, he's not actually talking about the physical organs. This is referring to the capacity. This is the jnanendriyani. This is the capacity to hear, the tactile capacity, tvak, chakshu, the capacity for vision, the capacity for taste, and the capacity for smelling. Okay? There's a beautiful section coming up that is a bit obscure, and I don't want to start it without having the time to finish it, because he's introducing the Adhishtatra Devatas. And when we talk about this, we want to be able to really unfold what this concept of a devata is, how the Vyashti relates to the Samashti, how the individual capacity relates to the total capacity, and why we have this vision of Adhishtatra Devatas, this devata. Why is the Surya? Surya, for example, is considered the devata of the eyes. The sun is considered the presiding deity of the eyes. You could take it as just being very poetic or metaphysical, esoteric, but there are also beautiful reasons to be looking at how Ishvara in total manifests as the particular. And we need to have a little bit of time to unpack that. So we will do that next week. Let's take a moment of silence. Om Swasti Prajabhyah Paripalayantam Nyayena Markena Mahimahishaha Go Brahmane Vyashubhamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshati Parjanyaha Prithivi Sasya Shalini Desho Yam Chobarahitaha Brahmana Santu Nirbhayaha Om Sarve Bhavanti Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhag Bhavet Asato Ma Sadhyamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya Mrityor Ma Amritangamaya Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Om Tat Sarvam Ishvarar Namastu Om.
The words Atma Satyam Tadanyat Sarvam Nityaiti keeps on ringing in my mind.
Yes. It's the cornerstone of what's being unpacked here. It's a lot to it.
I was thinking also of the phrase of the verse, Nitya Nitya Viveka, the one which comes early in the Tattva Bodha class.
Yes, yes.
I was wondering whether this Nitya Anitya Viveka is something that we need to cultivate for everything, not just the ones which drive our purusharthas. Like, for instance, let's say I have a piece of a gadget, and the gadget suddenly stops working.
Yes.
I mean, I have to say, that is the nature of the gadget. It has to stop sometime or the other. So. Yes. Why do I have to make such a big fuss about it? I think this Nitya Nitya Viveka is something, and this mindset, to me, I feel is some of the most beautiful teachings of this particular tattva bodha. I'm simply amazed.
It is extraordinary. Yeah. Nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. That is one of the sadhana chatushayas. What is the discriminative knowledge between what is nitya and what is anitya? That generates vairagya. And we have to deal with that all the time. It's funny because we expect our computers to act flawlessly. And when they don't, we have these little moments of frustration. Like you were saying. And it's wonderful just to see that and go, oh, no, there's no reason why I should really expect what I expect to happen to happen. I expect everything to happen the way I want. I expect it to happen. And there's no reason why I should really expect things to happen the way I am expecting them to happen. And even living in the moment, everything's temporary. Everything's time bound. Everything's going to go. So that is also part of the vichara there. Mm-hmm. See, that's introduced at the beginning as a quality, nitya nitya vastu viveka, what is real, unreal. And it helps generate vairagya, what is eternal and what is not eternal. But at that point, we don't really know what eternal is. We don't know what is not time bound because all we know are time bound things. So in that context, we talk mostly about it in terms of Purushartha Vichara, as you say. But in the end, that Viveka is between Atma and Anatma, Brahman and not Brahman, what is time-bound and what is not time-bound. So that Nitya Nitya Vastu Viveka goes all the way through from the very novice all the way through to complete Jnana Nishtha. Thank you all for coming. I will see you... hopefully all next week. Oh.